Okay, we are at action. Good to
Hey,
go.
good evening. We're here for the City Police and Fire Commission meeting. Today's date is July 22nd, 2026. If we could have roll call.
Greg Olson,
Here.
Michelle Kvorz,
Here.
Gail Roderick, and Leslie Young is absent. We have Chief McLaughlin, Chief
Here.
Hall, and Assemblymember Wystad with us today.
Thank you. First thing that we have is the agenda. Any changes to the agenda? Can I get a motion to approve it?
Motion to approve the agenda. Yeah.
Second. Oh, second.
Second, is all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Nobody's here to oppose it. Did we have any correspondence? Okay. Approval of the minutes of June 24th, 2026.
Move to approve the minutes. I vote to approve the minutes.
Yes.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Anything you want to discuss about them? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Hi. I'm having a little trouble hearing Gail's microphone.
Let's just leave that.
They're working on it right now.
Perfect.
Okay.
This is working for the moment.
Yep. See. All right, Gail. Just leave up.
Okay. Thank you.
Where did I get this one from?
Much better.
There.
Over there. Okay.
Hey, the next thing is any public participation for items not on the agenda. Okay, don't see anybody here for that. So next, we're moving to the Parking Citation Hearing Board. And the first one that's on the list was an update for George Hardison.
Mr. Hardison came in last meeting and had a dispute over a parking area on Seward Street. We adjourned, said that we would look at the area. There was some confusion on how the parking is there. Confusion on where it turns into one-way street when it goes down towards the cathedral. My recommendation was to dismiss the tickets because it was not clearly marked. It was confusing. And I worked with the streets department, and they've had some other issues there getting some big vehicles down the street. And it was one, really two spots, but one and a half spots that they just said no parking from this side down. So they get bigger equipment, and they've always had issues there using their street sweeper there because folks that live at the apartments park there between the 4 and 7, and so they removed that one little section there, and now it's no parking from there to the end of the corner, and that's where the one-way street begins.
Okay. And so that ticket's no longer in front of the Police Fire Commission.
Correct.
Okay, so the next item we'll go to is and just note our we got a full board here now. Thank you. I'm going to call to order the hearing on the appeal of Jessica DeVichy. Ms. DeVichy, did I say your name right? DeVish. If you want to have a seat up front there, please.
Can I just push the button? I'll turn it off.
My name is Greg Olson. I'm the chair of the Police and Fire Commission for the City and Borough of Sitka. The Police and Fire Commission is a hearing officer as authorized under Sitka General Code 1145-176. For this appeal, also present is the Police and Fire Commission Secretary who will make a recording of the hearing. I have before me a copy of the request for an administrative appeal dated June 25th, 2026. At this point, do you have any, do you want to say anything? Do you have any evidence you wish to present? And I would note that the purpose of the hearing is to determine whether the issuance of the citation alleging a violation of expired registration or failure to display a valid registration did occur. You can present any evidence you want, and then the police department can respond.
Great, thank you. So I was parked at the Crescent Harbor parking lot on June 7th through the 10th, and was out of town during that time. When I got back, I had two citations for the same offense of having expired registration, which was true. My registration was expired. And I appreciate the reminder, and went down to the DMV and was able to get that updated right away. And I paid my first citation, but without the ability to be aware of the citation or make any changes between the first ticket and the second ticket. I'd like to respectfully request the second ticket be waived.
So if I understand this correctly, your contention is you had two citations, you feel you should only have had one, and you paid one, and you're here on the second one.
Right. Yeah, I'm not contesting that my plates were expired. They were. I just hadn't had a chance to go back to my vehicle to address the first citation before the second citation was issued, and have since remedied the issue.
Police Department, want to respond?
I don't know much about the ticket. I think did the police department write both of them? Did Shannon write both? There was one from the Harbor Master as well. Do you know? There are two entities that write tickets at the harbor. One's the police department and the other is the harbors. And the reasoning for the tickets, what happens a lot is that people leave their cars there forever.
Right.
To date, I think we've already had about 48 cars that we've had to remove and crush, which costs about $2,000+ per car that the city gets. Personally, I'm not opposed to it. You didn't have a chance to rectify it. I understand that. I'm not opposed to that. And you paid your one ticket when you were able to get it. I'm not a voting member on this. I'm not opposed to releasing a second citation because you didn't have a chance to rectify it and your car is not disabled, junked, or we have to deal with it. So that would be up to the committee to find, but there's no opposition to me for it. Since you didn't have a chance to rectify it when you did rectify the one and paid it.
So I have a question for you, Chief. Let's assume, a car is parked, it has an expired plate, and so an officer goes, they see it, they write a ticket. How long do they wait before they come back? If they could see the ticket, previous ticket on the window?
Well, it's usually a week. But again, if it's more than us writing a ticket, it could be a harbor ticket. It could be one of our tickets, one of the harbor tickets. That's why I was asking if it was both our tickets. But normally we'll go back within a week of time, a period of a week to see if the car has been moved or not. We do that. Really, one of the biggest problems that we deal with are cars that never leave. They get the registration, they stay there forever. 48 cars, that's times 2,000 per car. And so we aggressively enforce it. Usually, I think we go up to like three tickets in a period of a month. And we try to reach out to the owner. If we can't reach them, then we go through the process of declaring them as junk vehicles. My fault for not being prepared for this ticket. I was looking at them before I came here, but then somebody called me and I barely made it here on time. So I didn't get to go through the whole thing to see where all the tickets came from. But normally we try to give a week. It gives people a chance to come in there to deal with it.
So is there any authority in the ordinance for basically serial tickets? I mean, it's one thing if somebody's driving around,
Yeah,
they get
it's
stopped,
yeah.
they get a ticket, and then a day later they're seen driving around and they get stopped again. That's different than somebody. It's kind of like parking in a no parking zone. How many times could you get a ticket in a no parking
I
zone
think the
in
ordinance
those 2 hours?
is we don't write more than five.
And that's
They
in.
escalate in cost before they become a habitual. On registration, we could go either way with the municipal code, or if it's in a parking lot, or we can do a state violation. So it's a little bit different. But we do try to cap off on five. Well, if it's in the state, I think they'll go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and try to work it out. We definitely try to call folks and say, look, I don't know what the deal is, but the registration's out. Normally, if we pull somebody over, their vehicles and registration, it's a correctable ticket. So we're writing for the citation, and they'll come back and say the next day, I have registered my vehicle, and we'll work with them in the court section. So it's not uncommon for that ticket to be corrected to a point if they have the means to correct it, being that they're there. In this situation, we wrote a ticket, you were gone. I would have to look to see the parking at Crescent Harbor because there are some parking limits there, I think. Parking time. You didn't receive any parking tickets. But normally it's up to five before there's other things that happen, but they do escalate.
Any questions by the commission or any motion?
The only question that I have is, so this ticket had been ex or your registration had been expired for about a year now. Is that correct?
Yes, it expired July of 25.
Okay. I think just with what Chief Hall stated about giving usually a week in between tickets, I wonder if there's side conversation that we can have with the person that, or the people that write the tickets for the harbor so that we can be on the same page so that if this is something that we want to make sure, like if there's already a ticket on the car, maybe check the date on it so that, we don't put people in this position. But I don't have any other questions.
So the other question I have in my packet here, I only see, maybe I'm missing it, one citation of the two.
She's only appealing one
Do we know
citation.
what date and time the...
Yes, the ticket was written by one of our officers on June 9th at 1621 in Crescent Harbor.
Okay, and then the second one was issued on the 13th.
I have no idea. I don't have record of the second one with me.
Okay.
It was the 13th, and that might have been a harbor's ticket because
It's referenced on here as June 8th, citation number at the bottom of her written statement.
yeah, the second ticket was it July 13th?
June 8th, it looks like, and then.
Yeah.
So the first ticket that I paid was June 8th, 2026, citation 69664. And then the one that I'm appealing is was written on 6926, citation 69857. So 1 day apart.
So the one you paid was issued on the 8th, and the one that you're contesting was issued the next day on the 9th.
Do we have what assurance do we have that the vehicle wasn't moved and that two tickets or one ticket was already on it when the second ticket was issued? Does that make sense? When, like, again, if an officer came up and saw a ticket that was already on it, or did the officer come up and someone had taken the ticket and put it in the glove box because they borrowed your car and they had parked it back there? Again, so that's my curiosity is then. If even if we had two agencies, a harbor department and a police officer, would the police officer or the harbor department seen the ticket if somebody else was monitoring your car or using it while you were gone. So, I mean, those are some of the, I mean, again, just again, giving both sides the benefit of the doubt, I understand that that is a pretty close, but again, not knowing where it was parked also could have been like why it was scrutinized more. And maybe they thought it was the first ticket was a parking violation or again. So, is there any way we can assure ourselves that the officer wouldn't have seen the first ticket that was there and issued it maybe sooner than maybe they had warranted, or I guess if the other department or the other within agency issued it? No way to know. Is that
Are you
something?
talking hypothetical, like for like this specific situation, or
Well, the
just like also
specific.
thinking about like in general when
Well, in
other people
general,
possibly
I
come up
mean,
here?
and again, you're saying that you were out of town, but how does this board know that someone else wasn't using your vehicle and took the ticket off of your windshield while you were gone and put it in your glove box for you to deal with you when you came back and reparked in the same spot? So again, unless I have something that says it differently, it's hard to treat both tickets, even though they're seem too close and concurrent. I agree, but yet if the officer doesn't see the second ticket, maybe they wouldn't have known that there was already a first ticket issued for a violation of not being registered. So, is there a way that the second ticket issued, can we find out? I mean,
I would have our parking tickets are on an Excel spreadsheet that's located at the police department. So I'd have to get into that spreadsheet to see who had issued that other one, whether it was Harbors or Alpha 25 who issued this one that is being appealed. But within the harbor system and the airports, we do have a code thing about parking violations shall be based on following number of violations within a 1 year period. And technically, it should be going up in price too. So the first one should have been 25, the second one should have been 50, but we don't have parking ticket software to track it. We just have an Excel spreadsheet. So it's don't track that as well. Well, and if it's Harbors, they don't turn their tickets into us necessarily every single day. So we don't input it into the spreadsheet necessarily every single day. They'll swing by a couple times a week and drop them off every other day. And so if they issue one and are haven't dropped it off, by the time our guys go back around, if it's come off the vehicle, we have no way of knowing it's been issued to the vehicle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. But we are going to start looking at parking ticket software because
There's a
it
lot of
is
tickets.
needed. It's just money.
Yeah. Well, and the difficulty of this board is that, you know, we are not a forgiveness board. So it's really hard to just forgive tickets. You know, we have to kind of follow that, you know, can we do this for everybody kind of mentality. So that's what is difficult about two tickets. It seems quickly issued, but again, what there's if there's no rules on how quickly they can be issued, again, that serial nature of it, I'm kind of curious to see what guidance the Chief Hall, even though he says you're ambivalent either way, but if this continues to occur, would you have an opinion then?
I wouldn't necessarily advocate to write the same ticket day after day. I think that's a little too far. I would, and again, if we write tickets and the harbors write tickets, we are working with the harbors. I actually met with the harbor master today that we need to unify these a little bit because, you know, if we write a ticket, then they turn back around and write another ticket. There should be some time that people can rectify an issue. We're not trying to badger folks, and I'm not saying this was done to badger anybody, but if we write a ticket that they write a ticket in a day, it doesn't really give anybody a chance to rectify the problem, especially if they're out of town. And so things do happen. Life does happen. It's not that I'm looking for forgiveness per se, but we normally do give people the opportunity to get their registration fixed. We write a lot of registration. In fact, that's probably the most that we write is invalid registration and no proper insurance. Those are the two biggest tickets we write just because it affects everybody. It affects us if they abandon the cars. It affects other people if their car gets in an accident. So I don't have mandatory tickets. We don't have a We don't have a quota policy. I let the officers have their own discretion on when they write tickets. I don't have control over the harbor system, even though they do turn their tickets into us. What if one of my officers write a ticket and then the next day somebody from the harbor comes in and they write a ticket? Normally, we like to give a little bit of grace period so people can come and rectify that problem. I would do that for everybody, not just in this case. We would allow people to come and fix the problem. What if they were out fishing and they didn't realize that their car was out of registration? That's why we try to go within a 5-day business period. So it'd be almost a week. If I wrote it on Monday, we'd come back and circle back the following Monday or whatever, if that makes sense. Because I don't want to keep writing every day a ticket that somebody can't fix. They can't rectify that issue. And so we do try to give a little bit of grace so folks can come back, get their car, get it registered, and be done. If it's there for a week, then 2 weeks, they might get a ticket, every Monday for the next month until they get there. That would be something that we would do. Same token, if they're parked in the parking lot, then they would have parking citations there as well, because there are some limits to when they can park there. So the way I have asked our folks to do it is we're not stacking tickets on things like this. Parking's different. If you might continue to get parking tickets, they do escalate. And there is a cap of up to five. There's a number amount, a dollar amount of how much we do write in municipal. But on the registration, if I write one on a Friday and I come back on Saturday, well, you can't fix that registration until Monday because they're closed, So we do try to give a little bit of grace so folks can go and get that rectified. And I would do that with everybody. It would be that across the board. It wouldn't be just in one case. It would be across the board. You have time to get that fixed. Go to the DMV, get your registration done. And I don't necessarily advocate for multiple tickets in a row for this type of violation, personally.
Yeah, my only concern is that, we're thoughtful about not being a forgiveness board, but we're also giving grace to giving people an opportunity. It would be great if we had some level of understanding when there's the second tissue ticket is issued, that there's a notation on this person that's issuing the second ticket that they somehow acknowledge that they see that there's a first ticket. So then at least it gives some assurance that the officer that's issuing it then understands that they're acknowledging they see a second site, the first citation on the ticket. So then it kind of then makes it where, again, if the friendly person that comes over and was watching your car pulls your ticket to bring it to you later, and then not realizing that that first officer didn't see the first ticket, to be able to give the grace also at that point. Because again, if the officer sees there's a first ticket and maybe they have taken the acknowledgement of like, oh, it's been a week, that's now been long enough for somebody to rectify, and then you could be issued that second citation. Versus if the officer didn't see the first ticket because of some friendly neighbor pulling the ticket off. Because again, that's an unknown. I'm about giving grace too, but I'd also want to make sure that we're very thoughtful.
For us, for the police department, normally they'll get some kind of a CAD number, or the officer will come out, run a registration and say, start me a number. And so if they go back or another officer comes back later, runs that, and is there any history in this vehicle, it'd say, well, officer so-and-so wrote this citation, 6 hours ago or yesterday or the day before. The harbor system, we don't have that same access. They don't have the same access to our system to do that. One thing that Serena mentioned, we are looking at a kind of a unified database so we could all be on the same page when tickets are written. I think I've seen some tickets, somebody gets a parking ticket and the harbors came around and gave another parking ticket like 4 hours later or something like that, or whatever. To have that communication of when and where all the tickets come. And as Serena said, sometimes the harbors collect tickets and give us to us a week later, and we have no, in that week, we kind of don't know who has a ticket, who doesn't have the ticket. So that is something that we need to work on uniformly, And something we are proactively looking at to try to figure out how we can all be on the same page to know who wrote a ticket, when they wrote the ticket. And so we don't keep duplicating tickets within the same day or within a 24-hour period. If I'm hearing correctly, you got one ticket one day and you got another ticket the next day. Yeah, I wouldn't, in our department, I wouldn't advocate for that per se. I would give everybody a period of time, usually a week, to rectify that problem so you can get to the DMV. Because again, if you get one on Friday and the DMV is not open on Saturday, Sunday, same token, you probably shouldn't drive your car until Monday or until you get your DMV sticker. But if you have to get groceries or some other thing, you know, there should be a little bit of grace until you can viably get into the area to rectify the problem. That would be my stance. I think it's fair.
So I have a question. It's not determinative, but when you came up the float to your truck, how many tickets were on the windshield?
There were two tickets.
I'm sorry?
There were two tickets on the windshield. Can I respond to the question about maybe a ticket being in the glove box if somebody came and took my car? I could see how if that didn't happen, my car was in the harbor the whole time. But if somebody had come and gotten my car, they also wouldn't have been able to remedy the situation because they don't have the authority or the ownership over my car in order to update the tags. And so even had they put it in the glove box and the second person didn't see the first citation on the windshield and issued me a second citation, fair enough. We don't have a system. I love good systems and love the idea of having a ticketing system for you guys. But I feel like it would be my duty to then come here and say like, hey, just so you guys know, like I did get to, for your awareness, just because whoever was babysitting my car hypothetically wouldn't have the authority to do that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
No, my goal is just to make sure that what we grant today doesn't cause additional issues tomorrow. And again, the board's always taken that stance of we're not a forgiveness board, but there are exceptions to every rule. And we want to make sure that we're finding this as the exception and not the rule. So thank you.
And I don't think I'm looking for any forgiveness. I was certainly in violation and I should be held accountable to that. And I feel like I have been through paying the ticket and getting the issue remedied. So certainly not looking for any kind of favors. But I feel like I was able to do my due diligence as early as I was back in town and able to. Thanks.
May I make a motion? I would like to make a motion that we, how would you say it? Ticket number 69857, that we void that.
Appeal is granted. Yeah. And the citation is dismissed.
Okay, that the appeal is granted and the citation is dismissed.
I second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion? If we can have roll call.
So in favor to grant the appeal, Gail Roderick?
Yes.
Leslie Young?
Yes.
Michelle Cavors?
Yes.
And Greg Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes. Appeal is granted. Ticket is voided. You can rip up that yellow copy or keep it for prosperity's sake.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is Travis Hudson. So this is a time of a hearing for the appeal of Travis Hudson. I have before me a copy of a request for administrative appeal dated July 13th, 2026, requesting a hearing by you. Purpose of this hearing is to determine whether the issuance of citation number 68504, alleging violation of expired registration or failure to display valid registration, did affect occur. The appellant, you would first present your case for issuance. Regarding the citation and present evidence on your behalf, and then the Sitka Police Department could respond. So if you already if you can present your case or any evidence. And is that still read there? There you go.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss the car registration issue I have. If I could give you the history of what I've done and why I'm here. My old van needed to be re-registered this year. And the first thing that happens is you get a card like this in the mail. And it says, guess what? You need to renew your registration. And it suggests you do it online. And it gives you a registration renewal number. I said, well, okay, let's do that. And so that's what I did. I got online and I used the registration renewal number and I got onto the website and I filled out the registration form and submitted it. And the website received it, acknowledged receipt of the form and told me that they'd get back to me. And so I didn't think much more about it. Time passed over a month. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do that. I set this card out on my desk so I wouldn't forget. And so I did it again. I got back online and I got right back to that website and I got the form filled out and I kept a copy of the form this time. But the same response happened. We got your submittal and we'll get back to you. And well, they didn't. And I kind of left it and wasn't thinking about it much. And then I get a ticket and I said, and guess, oh yeah, yeah, something's going on. I thought I'd gotten the responsibility shifted to the DMV online that they told me that they were going to deal with it. And, but guess what? I got a ticket. So I go right down to the station and I learned that my reliance on the DMV website is not going to work. It's not satisfactory. I wasn't really in the system the way I thought I was. So the first thing I did the next morning was go down to the DMV, first in line, and I got excellent help, and I got completely re-registered, and everything is much better. I got the permanent registration, and the lady was excellent, helped me perfectly. So what I'm thinking that this is kind of like a warning, and that guess what? What I was depending on with DMV was not going to work. It wasn't satisfactory, that I had to do something different and get it dealt with, which I did the very next day. And so what I'm hoping is that you folks will think about this kind of the way I've come to think about it, is that it's a warning and that it helped me and I did get it resolved. So I'm hoping that I don't have to pay the $50 fine. Thank you.
Any questions? Does the police department want to respond?
No response. We, you know, we don't work for the DMV, so.
I understand. I understand. Nobody knew what I was doing.
I mean, I when people do come in and talk, I usually send them to the DMV because situations like this do happen, and make sure you get the paper and the sticker. So, you know, our advice at the police department is go to the DMV, make an appointment, and make sure that your vehicle is registered. But reliance on a computer database and not a human being sometimes puts us in a bind. So I try to, you know, encourage folks to start there, especially in Sitka. You can usually get in fairly decent. It's a little bit of an inconvenience, but you can usually get in the DMV fairly quick.
Gail and Catherine are great at the DMV. I concur. Unfortunately, it still is the owner's responsibility to ensure that their vehicle is registered. You know, unfortunately, the online system has its issues sometimes, it sounds like, but at the end of the day, that vehicle should have been parked until it was registered. So, and I know I have often not gotten the yellow reminder card, and that does sneak up on you when all of a sudden you look down and you're like a month away from coming out or even past. And again, at the end of the day, then the vehicle needs to be parked on private property until it is registered. And I do sympathize with that. And it's hard to keep track of that. You know, I got three vehicles to track down and two trailers. So it kind of sneaks up on all of us. So I do sympathize.
And I just note that my help just recently went online, renewed it, wanting a permanent registration, said, we'll get back to you. I got nothing. Well, I didn't move the trailer, but I knew the plates were expired. In fact, they really weren't expired.
Turn on your speaker.
Blinked off on me, sorry. In fact, they weren't really expired because the registration was permanent, but the tabs weren't. I went down to DMV and replaced it. And so maybe there's a glitch in the system. The problem is that the police department doesn't control that glitch. And from my view anyway, if I chose to drive it around without having the tab on there, even if it was registered, that's a risk that I take because it's a violation. I can see the issue for you. If your registration is successful, you actually get a printout that says your vehicle's, it looks a lot like your registration. It's the temporary that the computer, if you can print out. So you would know if it was successful. Anyway, that's the only comment that I had.
Can I ask if an officer had noticed that I had expired, would it ever be a situation where they would issue a warning and say, get it done? Or would you always get this ticket?
Normally, that's the number one ticket that we write. Mm-hmm. And the reasoning is, like I said earlier, is because we get so many abandoned vehicles. The second is that everybody has to register their vehicle. You'd be surprised how many vehicles are out of registration for years. Or the Z-tabs, where they don't have to be re-registered, but people sell them, and then somebody sells them, and they never change the registration. And then they leave them, and then we got to take care of them and pick them up and take them to get crushed. It's a huge problem. It's a very big problem here. We write registration tickets daily. The two that are kind of unforgiving is registration and insurance, because everybody has to be registered. And two, if you don't have insurance, you've really hurt the other party. And so when it comes to, you know, any type of traffic violation, those two are, I'm not going to say mandated, but those are the two that officers write the most. Do they give everyone a registration ticket? Probably not, depending on certain circumstances. Officers do have discretion. There's mm-hmm. different reasonings for that. But normally, there's not much forgiveness with an officer when it comes to the registration violation and insurance violation.
It seems to me there'd be more forgiveness potential if it was a moving violation and not a car parked with nobody around.
It is. If we stop you in the street, there might be some forgiveness there. A lot of times we'll say if it's a moving violation, get it fixed tomorrow, come and see me. If not, you're getting a ticket, depending on the situation. It's not happens all the time. Registration can be corrected. Insurance can be corrected. In fact, you can be pulled over and your insurance is out. A lot of people do it on an app, and officers be like, if you get that insurance right now, you won't get a ticket. But get that insurance and show me that you have successfully updated your insurance. Because those are the two things that do affect the town the most. And so there's not a whole lot. I know chiefs before me mandated. It was a mandate that if you pulled somebody over with a registration violation or insurance, that they must get a ticket. I don't mandate. That could be maybe construed as a quota, or the officer loses certain discretion. I do allow them to make their decisions on that. At the same time, they usually write registration and insurance. And we write registration tickets on a daily basis, just because it's an overwhelming problem here in the town.
Do you think that if I'd explained my situation to an officer on site, it would have made a difference, or?
I think it just depends on the officer.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're usually pretty fair. I mean, they're usually pretty across the board. You know, here's the ticket to remind you. I will say this, that one of our sergeants was out of registration and he got a ticket. And he's like, I'm out. I got to pay for it. The harbor master a couple of days ago, he says, man, I got a ticket for what? Registration. He said, that's, well, how bad registration? He said, I was out 3 months. I'm like, man, good reminder. Right. And so it does happen. I had a trooper come in 3 weeks ago. I got a registration violation ticket for my trailer and my truck. I'm like, well, thank you for your service. I don't know what else to tell you. And they paid the ticket. Because it's one of those things that there's not a whole lot of flexibility on at the department. We try to work with folks. If certain things happen, for instance, we have pulled people over who maybe not here as much as other places I've worked. You pull somebody over who might be in distress and you pull them over, but they have another overwhelming situation. Maybe they wanted to kill themselves or something else. I'm not going to sit there and write you a ticket when you think your life's going to end, right? So there are some times we have discretion just because of the situation that's at
circumstance. You
know? Yeah. Yeah.
If I may, I just, unfortunately, Mr. Hudson, I agree with the fact that if, you know, it didn't go through and you didn't have that document that said that it went through. What should have happened right away was heading to the DMV to get it rectified at that time before a ticket was written. That's how I feel about it. And I'm sorry that you had to learn the hard way. I think it's really informative for a lot of people who might do the same thing and just assume it goes through. But yeah, I appreciate your time and thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Do we have a motion?
Yes. I make a motion that we, how would I word that?
Appeal is not granted and the parking violation stands.
Okay, that the appeal is not granted and the parking violation stands.
My second.
Okay, move to second and for cap roll call, please.
All right, so all those in favor of denying the appeal and having the ticket stand, Gail?
Yes.
Yes. Leslie? Michelle?
Yes.
And Greg?
Yes.
All right. Tickets appeal is denied. Ticket stands.
Thank you for the opportunity to discuss it with you. Will you take a credit card?
They do down at the utility office.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and the final item on the agenda is
Mr. Jim Michener, yes.
So this is the time for a hearing of your appeal. We have before us a request for appeal dated June 2nd, 2026. The purpose of this hearing is to determine whether the issuance of citation number 685894 alleging violation of a yellow zone did in fact occur. You'll have an opportunity to present your case regarding the issuance of the citation and present evidence on your behalf. The police department will be able to respond. So if you could go ahead.
Commissioner, commission members, chiefs, thanks for having me. I absolutely parked in that no parking zone on purpose and with purpose. It's a pay to play. $25 to get your attention for a few minutes, anytime. I've been looking at that parking spot for years and just think that that long yellow strip, and I have pictures I can pass around if you like, right outside the Moose Lodge between the Coliseum Theater, it's about 25 to 30 feet of yellow no parking. And I can't see any reason for public safety that it's a no parking zone. The only thing I could think of is pulling out of the Moose parking lot, needing visibility down towards the church to the right. That could be the only thing I could see. However, it's a double yellow. You shouldn't be turning left there anyway. So you should only be turning right out of that Moose parking lot on a double yellow. And you don't need that no parking there because you're looking left for oncoming traffic coming through the stoplight. So I was just hoping to have the opportunity to have people look at it and say, hey, maybe we can get rid of this yellow parking that's got room for three of my little K cars or two regular sized trucks on Lincoln Street, when I don't think it's a public safety issue to have that yellow there. So happy to pay the $25, but I got a chance to have your attention and let you think about it.
Chief?
Oh. Well, you could have done that for free when it's people's to be heard, but we'll take you $25.
Yeah, I'll pay you.
On the parking, how long? I mean, it's been there since I've been here. It's probably been yellow for a long time.
30 years.
Yeah. Probably something that goes through planning and the engineer. I don't have the answer, but you know what? I'll sit and talk to you about it, and then I'll get the powers that be to see why it's that way, and then we get you an answer, and we can discuss it. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Are you the guy that owns a salt place?
Yeah.
Love you, salt, by the way.
Thank you.
This is outside of the ticket. He's already pled guilty to his ticket, it sounds like.
Yeah. I asked Officer Wilson to write
the ticket. Yeah, I saw that in the back. I'm like, man, all you had to do is come down to the station, man. You know? Get some popcorn and put some salt on it. Maybe we can meet up a time and we can go look at it. There is a parking issue here. The last meeting was somebody was upset for a parking ticket and it was not clearly stated. And it honestly probably shouldn't have been a parking, even though after it's not parking, somebody else came to me and said, why is this not parking? It's hard to please anybody in life anymore, but I have no problems going down and taking a look. And then that would be something that the streets would have to be a part of and probably the city engineer. It's not something that I would be like, mega parking, you know?
Okay, last time this happened, my retail store years ago was in the Bayview building mm-hmm. and where the bus parking is now, the bus transfer station. Mm-hmm. That was parking. The city came in and put white parking spots in that space and made room for three giant trucks mm-hmm. and there could have been parked for five smaller vehicles. So I purposefully parked half in the middle of the white mm-hmm. strip and had a parking ticket. Was able to come to this commission and the next day they painted out all the white strips.
Yeah.
So I thought this was the most effective way to maybe affect change.
Yeah. Well, they got our attention for sure. I like it. but I, maybe we can set up a time. We can sit in the meeting and we go look at it and, I'll bring the fire chief along too, just so I can.
Yeah, if there's a public safety issue, I'm all for public safety. Yeah. I get it.
I don't know why it's not a parking area. Maybe it's because of I think it's where the Moose Lodge is. Yeah. Talking about.
Yep.
Maybe because people turn right there. I don't know. Maybe 30 years ago, somebody got hit there. I have no idea. We do have a parking issue in this town for sure. There's not enough parking. We write a lot of parking tickets, and oddly enough, more people complain about not parking than people complain about getting the parking ticket. And people have recently said, why are we writing more tickets? And part of that is because we now have more people and we have somebody dedicated to the parking issue. So I do realize there is parking issues downtown. It's hard to find a spot. And if that could be rectified, I'd be more than happy to work with whomever.
Okay. Well, if I could just ask him here out and about, take a look at the length of that and try and figure out what you think, what your take on it, the public safety is, and we can go from there.
Yeah. Again, it'd come through the engineer and through the streets department, but I would definitely, we can.
Just has a lot more gravity when it's coming from you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
We can say we want this, you know, parking here. There's no reason why, or give us a good reason why. And yeah. If there's a good reason why, then we can communicate that. And but more than happy to work with you on that for sure.
That sounds great. We'll all go down to the city and pay tomorrow.
Right on. We take credit cards down there at the utility section.
I'm very, very good at paying the city. I've got to pay them a quarterly sales tax tomorrow anyway. So you just add $25 onto that bill. All right.
Do you have a question?
Oh, I was going to say a good person to deal with is Harry Green with the streets.
Just don't let him paint the site.
Yeah.
Well, and again, historically, certain things are the way they are. And again, maybe some. 120 years ago painted it 10 feet longer than it should have been, and it just has been maintained that way. You don't know sometimes the precedent of why it got painted, and it's always good to reevaluate to determine if it's the need to have that access ability or visibility anymore. Again, parking is a premium, and I always think that the restrooms that are blocking Maksudov Street should be turned so they can at least provide one-way access either up or down Maksudov Street and just block a one-way, because I'll tell you that's an issue too. But parking is so challenging. It's always, reevaluating all the yellow lines. And even if, like, we can say, hey, we can cut a foot more out of this yellow line or this yellow line, you actually might be able to benefit a parking spot down that stretch of road. Because if
so, I would also volunteer and teach a parallel parking clinic, so that people can actually get in and out without leaving 6 feet between vehicles.
Yeah, that to cost you another $25.
But thank you for bringing it to the commission's attention. And if that's something that we as a commission can stress, like even just that parking spot individually, or just even the yellow lines in general, because again, now that we are ramping up ticketing, it would be nice to see if we can maximize any of those yellow zones to maximize a parking spot. You know, again, collectively somewhere along the road that, you know, even if I gain a foot here and a foot there, it could add up to enough for another vehicle to squeeze in, especially some of these small vehicles that are starting to show up here and ATVs. And
so if I could get a motion to close this, please.
Okay, I make a motion to deny.
Appeal is not granted and the parking violation stands.
Okay, what she said.
Second.
So
hey,
those
roll call, please.
Those in favor of the appeal not being granted and the parking violation stands. Gail?
Yes.
Leslie?
Yes.
Michelle?
Yes.
And Greg?
Yes.
All right, appeal is denied. Ticket stands. And
sorry, and I just note, you know, I appreciate what you've done. I mean, your intention, but like the chief said, you get 3 minutes free. And if we see it as an issue that needs more attention, we can put it on the agenda. We can have the city engineer come in. We can do more things here. If something else comes up, don't waste the $25.
City needs it too.
And you can always come to my office.
Yeah.
Too,
all right. Thank
my
you, everybody.
Yeah.
Best salt in town.
Right? Best salt in town.
Yeah.
You're a salty guy.
Okay. So I'll close the parking citation hearing board and revert back to the regular meeting. And the next item we have are reports of the chair. I was gone last month. I was in Hong Kong. I'm back now. I have nothing to report. And so the vice chair.
Thank you. I just wanted to bring awareness that Overdose Awareness Month is in August, and then Overdose Awareness Day is August 31st, and September is Suicide Awareness and Recovery Month, Suicide Prevention Awareness and Recovery Month. And I know that Search is doing their event that they do every year for recovery, including the Welcoming of the Canoe Parade, potlatch, and celebration on the 5th of September. And we're doing our Sitka Counseling's doing their annual recovery walk on September 26th. So more to come on that. And that's all I have.
Okay, liaison report. Welcome to the meeting.
Yeah, thank you. Back. Thanks for having me. So for those who don't know me, my name is Chris Hiestad. I am filling in for the remaining 3 months of Mr. Pike's term. I guess that's kind of all I have really, other than since we're talking so much about parking, and we do know that we do have troubles with our downtown parking in Sitka. While I was a harbor commissioner, I had actually put together a proposal to create new parking, mainly dedicated for Crescent Harbor users, but in doing so would open up a lot of our Crescent Harbor parking lot. It went before a joint committee of the Historic Preservation Commission and Harbors. Actually had decent support. Some people did not support it. It will not be popular if the city, the assembly, wants to go down this road, but it's, I guess, for this commission to think about if it's something that we want to do as a city. It's connecting the two small lots on the green strip. Yes, there are covenants. There are three of them. All three of them have been surpassed. So there is precedent. It's doable, takes money, very controversial. Probably would wind up in court, hence why I dropped it, but could probably happen if there was will for it. So something to chew on.
Okay, thank you. Fire chief.
Oh.
I don't warrant a microphone. Good evening, everyone. I did just get back last night on a late flight, so it's good to be here after a couple weeks of stuff. Lots of good things going on in the fire department world. It's just been busy a lot. I guess we could characterize this with change and growth in the fire department over the last month. I think last month we talked about the Coast Guard helicopter crash a bit. Recent events, just on Friday of last week, there was a fire at the Sitka Hotel / Mangiari's restaurant. And that was started, we got the initial call at 10 p.m. Sound about right. I think you were there, Chief. And went in and for about 90 minutes tried to find the source of the fire. And it was in one of the walls. Down in the bar, the restaurant area, but the smoke had been going all the way up through all four floors into the and exiting through the roof. The team traced it all the way up there. Finally, discovered the hot spot down behind the bar in the restaurant. Made an access point in the wall and found a actual building fire in the wall space, and so they cut up more of the wall and put that out before it. We had another big Sitka Hotel fire, and then once a decade or so is about what we want to handle. So that was a really great effort between both the PD blocking off the street so that we could put a whole bunch of kegs of beer out in the street and not have to worry about them while we fought the fire, and getting all the resources done before it became a significant and potentially catastrophic fire. The good news is I think the restaurant is still in business. The hotel is still in business. I think they skipped a beat for a second to shore up the wall that we had to cut through to get to the fire, but they're back and operating, which is a key for all of us, to do as little damage as possible, but to save the premises and the people and life safety. So that was good. That was our most recent big one. We're 6% through the fiscal year and 2% through our budget, so we're doing good there. EMS calls for the year to date are a little lower now than last year. We'd kind of been tracking, but we've had a little bit of a dip. We're about 50% of the cruise ship transports than we normally have, and we're about 100 calls less overall. So we had 660 some odd calls this time last year, and we're at 560 calls about this time this year. So little, I hate to say that out loud because I know I'm jinxing it, but that's where we're currently at right now. couple really big, big purchases for us and big steps forward for the fire department, the medical health of the community. We were able to purchase 3 ventilators, one for each ambulance that we have. And the ventilators is going to provide mechanical ventilation for people with anything from respiratory distress through a CPR case. And the years and years of data behind that shows that it is just you, because you can specify for that specific patient how much air and ventilation, oxygenation and ventilation to give them, it's just provides better outcomes for overall. So that is a great boon to the health of our patients as we go forward. And this is a new add-on, a new addition to the capability of the Sikkim Fire Department. And that's an EMT level 1 up through paramedic level tool that we can use, so anyone will be able to use it for our patients. So that's great. The thing we're replacing are outdated and obsolete, outdated life packs. These life packs are the packs that we carry on literally every EMS case. We're hooking you up to something, whether it's a pulse oximeter only, the blood pressure cuff, the 12 lead to get your heart rhythm, or we're shocking you because you're in CPR. It does all the things. And the packs we have in the ambulances now have expired, and they will not be repairable if they should break. So the assembly last year approved $165,000 for us to get 3 more for the ambulances, and those have been ordered and are coming in also. So really appreciate that, and those should hopefully be in service as of the beginning of August. And I think those... those are the big updates for the fire department side. Thank you for your time.
So your volunteer force has an event coming up?
Yes, thank you. I'm glad someone's paying attention because I'm still not sure which state I'm in. This Saturday, we have the Super Saturday event, which started off years ago as kind of a quasi-garage sale, but has turned into a lot more than that. And I understand there'll be a dunk tank for Chief Hall, who has volunteered to be in there, and all sorts of stuff to raise funds for the Sikkim Volunteer Fire Department. So all the proceeds go to that. And there's it's still open for booths for people who want to sell things or do any I think people sell their wares or old stuff they're trying to get rid of out of their attics. I think it's really up to you what you want to sell. This will be my first one. I guess I'd also say my first one was my first 4th of July in the fire department and the first hose fight we've had in about 7 years is my understanding. And that went really well. A lot of people got really wet. So I think it was a good experience overall. A lot of kids pretty happy with the fire hoses. Am I missing anything else, sir?
I saw that on the internet.
No, I appreciate it. I didn't mean to talk about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you tell me what it's called again? What is it called? And the date and time where?
Well, that's a lot of questions. Super Saturday. It's this Saturday, which I believe is the 25th. And it starts 10 a.m. at the fire department. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Fire chief. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Chief Fall.
I am getting dunked on Saturday, if anybody can hit me. If you want to see me talk trash to the community, it'd be a good event to go to. Are you getting dunked in the tank too?
Football injury. I don't know if I can.
I see you at your pinky, right? This pinky's hurt. It has been a busy time for the police department. As the chief said, we had the helicopter crash, which I will say the fire chief did a phenomenal job handling that scene. One of the best I've ever seen in 30 plus years of law enforcement. He did a fantastic job. He gave me direction, which of course I need, but I think the police and fire department work very, very well together. And I appreciate the chief being there, even though he's been gone for 2 weeks and he didn't even say he missed me when I had to text him today. I'm like, what's up, dude? You don't like me anymore. I did volunteer to be dunked just because they need all the help they can get over there. We also had the unknown soldier that we helped escort to Alaska Airlines, which was a pretty cool event. That happened within about a period of 2 days. They called and says, we have this person, and would you help out? called the chief, and they brought trucks out, called the troopers, they brought cars out. So it was a really, really good event. Alaska Airlines brought in a special plane. It was a really, really historic event. He's been in our cemetery for over 80 years, and now they think they know who he is. I talked to the person they believe is his nephew, and he's an older gentleman, ecstatic about, you know, the findings and what's going on. It was just a really interesting event. We didn't know how many people would show up because we only had a 2-day notice, but the streets were lined and people saluting, and it was really, really special. And I appreciated that. But those things take time. Those are good events. Those are events that make you feel good that you're able to honor folks in that fashion. The Sitka Hotel, that was a pretty good event. First time I broke a sweat personally here in Sitka, because not because of the fire, but because I was helping elderly folks lug their luggage out of their hotel rooms while we evacuated them out. And you can't use the elevator because there's a fire. And I'm thinking, how much stuff can you actually have in a bag? You know, and I, for some reason, kept getting the third floor. I'm like, why am I on the third floor? You know, everybody was, for the most part, pretty cooperative. There were three intoxicated fellows there that were threatened to go to jail and spend the night with us. And they realized that they should probably leave. And they did. As you can see, there's a lot more parking tickets. That's because we have the new MSO that is enforcing that. We have a bike auction coming up in the 1st of August. We haven't had one in probably 3 years.
That's pre-2020.
Haven't had one in 6 years. And so we're auctioning off bicycles that we've had stored for a long time. And we're also getting ready to auction off vehicles. So some of the vehicles that we do find that aren't totally junked, we're going to start auctioning them off on the city website, on their auction site. In Sitka, it's hard to find a car here. We don't have car dealerships. You know, people try to get something on a marketplace, and by the time you get there, it's already gone. And so some of these vehicles that could be repurposed, we're going to sell on the city website. With that said, we pay ourselves out of the money it takes to what it would take to get rid of the vehicle. The excess money goes into the state. They have an abandoned vehicle fund, but we're able to pull from that for our other abandoned vehicles. So looking at it and looking into it further, the 48 that we already have junked this year at $2,000 a piece, we are able to ask for a reimbursement from the state, so the city doesn't necessarily eat all that money up. So that's about $50,000 worth, you know, of cars that we would have to, that we've been kind of sucking up over the years. And so they're able to kind of get reimbursed for some of those things that we're doing. We are getting a new training module in the next 3 or 4 months, working through that. It's an interactive model. It will train police officers and corrections officers on use of force, de-escalation techniques. It's interactive. It's a pretty cool tool. We're getting it for free. Our insurance company is supplying that. They're only putting 3 in the state of Alaska, and SICK is getting 1 of the 3. We're getting one, Bethel's getting one, and Wasilla's getting one. So they called, and we're working on getting that work through. It's going to be a pretty neat system. We have one officer that started the academy on Sunday. And so I have another officer coming in next week that's looking to be a lateral transfer that's already Alaska certified. And then I'm working on another one that's in the background that's another Alaska certified. If all things go well, we could be fully staffed on the patrol side by the end of summer. And we're one dispatcher short of being full in dispatch. I do have one that tested today and looking for housing. And if she's still agreeable after trying to find housing, then dispatch will be totally full. That's the positions. That doesn't mean that they start working right away. Dispatch is about a 4-month training period. After somebody gets out of the academy, it's another 4-month training period. Anybody new, even though they're lateral, they're going to do at least another month in field training. Once we are full in dispatch, full in patrol, we'll do a sergeant selection from the pool of folks that's been in our department. We're not going to farm that outside Sitka, and then we'll refill the open spot. So a sergeant will move up, and then we'll fill that other spot, which we have about four or five candidates going through the background check now. So we should be able to fill those. So really, by the end of fall, I would like to, I'd love to see, and I don't think I'm being too optimistic, that the police department would be fully staffed, minus one sergeant position and a lieutenant's position, which we are looking at kind of restructuring how the organization, how we're going to work organizationally. We maybe too top heavy in the past. We're looking at maybe streamlining some of the supervision and focusing more on some of our patrol efforts to get more folks on the street. So getting there, getting close, looking forward to get dunked on Saturday. I hope it's not too cold, and hope there's not a good enough people here. If you bring in a pitcher from the high school, I'm going to be really upset. Right. But looking forward to helping the fire department. The 4th of July was a big event. I think it went off very well. I did run out of candy before I got on the other side of Lincoln Street. I was able to accost a lot of the citizens that wanted candy. And I was like, you want some candy? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I don't have any candy. I gave it all to the chief, hoping that he didn't have candy by he got there, so they'd be mad at the fire department. But he had plenty of candy, so he was fine. Other events coming up, we have Sick and Night Out. It's going to be August 8th at Keat, right? Keat. That's going to be from 3 to 5 on August 8th, 3 to 8 from 48. That's why I got Serena. She keeps me straight. 48 on August the 8th. That'd be our next big event, hoping that everybody can come out to that. So it looks like it's shaping up pretty good. A lot of folks helping us. And we're also, in the last couple of days, today was kind of the final day, helping the Child Advocacy Center get their accreditation through a national accreditation for their program. If you don't know much about the Child Advocacy Center, they focus on kids who have been abused, sexually assaulted. We work with them. They have interviewers. The police department helped them in their inception. And now we're at a point that looks like they can get an accreditation. If they are accredited, then the federal government can also use them, like the FBI. If they have anything in child exploitation, they can also use our CAC. Meeting with the accreditors today, it looks like they're going to be in good shape. So it'd be another good feather in the cap for this community to have a certified CAC, you know, accredited CAC in our state. So that's all the updates I have, pending any questions.
Yeah. I had a question on my brain. I can't think of it right now.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
You can always call me.
Okay.
Any questions from either of you? I do have one kind of a question. This came up a while back and has been kind of simmering out there. And I heard it might be starting to boil again. And that's the fact that the state is purchasing the Sheldon Jackson Museum for the court system and moving the court 5 blocks away from the police department. One is, have you also heard that? And then two, are you looking at how to strategically deal with the court and the fact that you're going to have to be transporting prisoners down there and back and getting JS into the community?
Yes. So they have received the funding to purchase the Sheldon Jackson old library, I believe it is. And they are setting up a committee now for the refurbishment to make it a courthouse. So it looks like it's moving forward. I had a chance to meet with Senator Stedman briefly when they dedicated the new search building, and he was excited about it. And I posed the question to him, well, who's taking the prisoners to the courthouse? Because it can't be us. I can't dedicate somebody there all day And it's really the judicial service's responsibility to transport prisoners from one point to point A. We do it now as a courtesy because we just take them upstairs, but we don't sit with them. If they're going to be off site, then somebody needs to be there. And it really needs to be an armed officer that sits with them at the courtroom since it's away from our facility. Right now, the court, they can call us, they can hit the panic button. We'll be right there in 2 seconds because we're in the same building. Moving is a big logistical problem for us. Because we have a limited number of jail officers, in which the reorganization, maybe cutting one lieutenant spot, will give me two more correctional officers. I personally believe we're too short-staffed in corrections, even though we don't have a huge number of inmates at times, but sometimes we do. The biggest liability that the police department will face is your jail. It's the biggest liability in any law enforcement agency that has a jail, because you have human beings that are in there and they have human rights, and what happens if they die in there, and we don't have the adequate support for that. And so we do put ourselves at a little bit of a risk. Now, if I have to take a jail officer and keep them at a courthouse for 8 hours with somebody, and then it leaves an open spot in the jail, then you got to take another police officer to monitor the jail. And so for us, it would really put a dent in the efforts we're doing to get staffed up. They would knock me out of really two people easily for the time that goes through court. Sometimes we bring 3-4 people to court at a time. So then you got to sit up there. It's just for the police department, it would be a hardship, a major hardship. We would probably demand that they have a JS officer here. If you want them to go to court, then you better take them to court. The problem that they have is that they don't have enough JS officers. So, for instance, the last J officer that came here came from Fairbanks, because the two JS officers in Juneau have retired, and then they haven't refilled those positions. And so there is some logistical things. I do think, though, the last I talked today, I talked to somebody today that kind of in the know of the new courthouse, and they said it's probably a 5-year process from now until then. Hopefully in 5 years they can hire some folks, you know, to get it done. But my fear is that they'll go on and think about this new building, but not think about the logistic it takes on the city to operate that. And the level of security that the court wants is not the level of security that we can provide. They don't just get special treatment. We have a whole city to police as well. And so that's a good one. And Greg, I think it would be good if you can, you know, down the road, I'm sure we'll be asking, hey, we need some support, because they're going to ask us. I know they're going to ask us, well, Sika, you guys can handle this. Right now, they'll bring somebody, maybe bring 2 or 3 people. And they said, well, we can't transport them again for another week. So now I have to house people longer than what we would normally have to, because they don't have the people to transport them back and forth, which puts us in another liability issue, right? And so that's already being done. And the further this gets kicked down the road, the biggest, you know, the more demand and liability we'll put on the police department, for sure. So that's a very good question. I think you've been around long enough in state government to know in courts that it's a slow roll. And when it comes to the police side of the house, well, that's a thought that comes later.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, and there's contract issues with the jail and the state, and I've dealt with those from the police side. One of the things you might start working on is discussing with the court system about the fact that every other state jail, because really the city's only responsible when you arrest somebody to get them to court for arraignment. That's the city's only responsibility legally. But at every state jail in the state, Fairbanks, Juneau, Ketchikan, they don't do arraignments in person. They're all over the phone on video. And if they can incorporate the video equipment in their rebuild, you don't have to move anybody. And then the other people you can deal with, that's another issue, which may require JS officers to transport, or maybe they just keep them in Juneau if they're in custody until they actually have to be here in trial and a JS officer comes over for the trial. I mean, there's things to work out. But,
we currently do some on the phone arraignments. They'll be in the jail. They'll have some arraignments over the phone. I'm like, well, if nobody's upstairs, I reckon. I don't know what the deal is, but we do some arraignments already over the phone. But that's a valid point. If they have to be in front of somebody in the camera, that would be a whole lot easier than putting them in a car and taking them down. And it's a whole different logistical problem, you know? So
if I could just kind of jump on that too, Chief, you'd mentioned that it would be a huge kind of burden on your staff, and I think that really undersells the issue there. I mean, yes, it would, but you're literally hamstringing patrol officers from their primary function of being out in the streets and out in the community doing the job by putting them in a courthouse all day for several days potentially, and that affects my personnel too, because one of the things I'll brief the assembly next week on is, more often than not, when we're on an EMS call, we're shoulder to shoulder with a police officer who's backing us up and helping us with the mission. And if they're in a courtroom, they can't be helping us do that. And so I think it really does have a detrimental effect for the community if we can't address that in the future. So I think it's a good message to keep and an important flag to keep waving as a body through that process of developing the court.
Any other questions or comments?
I do appreciate getting the packet of information about the former study that was done to have the new police station built. Obviously, those sites are no longer, well, one of them is no longer viable, obviously, because it's the Alaska Community Land Trust. It kind of feels like COVID threw and derailed a lot of things. And I think in the greater scheme that this question may have come up if a new law enforcement facility was built that didn't incorporate the judicial system also. I think the Stratton Library would be great to see it repurposed for something, but I'm not sure it's going to accommodate the parking needs when jurors show up for a parking spot, with especially during the summer when there is already difficulty with parking anywhere in the downtown area. It would be nice if someone could look at through that bigger lens of like, yes, it's a beautiful building, it's a great location, you're going to have a wonderful view, but you're going to get five people to park there and that's it, because everything else is occupied by other people and they're allowed to park there too because it's public parking. It would be nice if we could explore other ideas, and even with the time frame, again, since we have kind of, it would be nice to somehow get that on agenda to kind of then take it to the assembly to say, we do need to look at this. It would be great if we could have some cooperation with the judicial system and then find another, whether it's the building on the back of the parking lot and then tearing down the old building, or Jarvis Street, or some other facility area that could accommodate both entities and still have the win-win of the current situation. But again, moving that forward seems like, well, where do you start? Well, you start here and you say, let's get it on some sort of platform that the assembly can kind of get their mind around. Again, this study's already been done. We all know it's needed. It would be nice if we can somehow like kickstart this again and maybe reassess another site, rethink and again, making it a cooperation with the state and saying, let's make a partnership again. I think it's worked well. But it's the building that's bad, not the two entities together. And if you guys can find another spot where we can build again, because that building, even a full remodel will not help it. It just needs to go away. So that's just my 2 cents. So if we can move forward on adding that discussion to make a request to the city to have another revamped assessment, and looking at it in the sense of having maybe just the police station rebuilt, but also then saying, could we get a cooperation and make it big enough to house a court system or another public agency? Because again, it's a win-win if we're going to cooperate with another agency, whether it's OCS or, and again, the parole officers. I mean, there's more people, not just the court, that occupy that building. And I'm sure they'd be looking for a home if that building were to be revamped, remodeled, torn down, redone, sold off, or whatever, to then afford the a new facility. Thank you.
I could say that SICA, STA, Baranoff Housing Authority, Highland Authority, they mentioned in a meeting I was at with at STA that they would be willing to donate some property on Indian River. So you could find the property, but then, you know, you have to find the funding to build a new, you know, judicial. And I do like the judicial complex where it's easier to move prisoners from one side to the other. And then the lawyers can meet with them, folks, if you had nice visitation rooms and other types of things like that. But we get quite a few people says, you guys need a new police station. And on some of these hot summer days, it gets about 89, 90 degrees in some of those offices. Man, it gets pretty warm, gets a little toasty. Especially if you got people in there in jail, it gets more than just toasty, man. It gets ripe. So definitely needs, and I think you're right, upgrade would be tough. The building has been somewhat, you know, neglected. But I think there is some, there are a lot of folks, and I've heard this from many people, you guys need a new police station. I agree. I don't know if I want to be the chief, the one that has to deal with that process, because it's a process. Holy smokes, it's a process, right? But the community does need something, I think, in the future to sustain what we have here. Right now, it's we're pretty much duct taping, baling wire as best we can and keeping it going.
Go ahead, Gail.
The body camera folks, did they ever make it to Sitka?
Not yet, but they're coming. We have a date set for them, I think, now in August. We are in contact quite a bit. Most everybody's wearing them now. They're working well, but they're coming in. They have to actually install two cameras in two of our newer vehicles. But I think we have them set sometime in August. They had a hard time just finding a room. So that's kind of what we were waiting on. But we do talk to them often. They've done some updates with our lieutenant, and who kind of, I think the last time came and gave you a brief on the body cameras. But they are being utilized, and so we are using them, and we're able to put them in our evidence system and all that good stuff. But the final training and the install of the other cameras will probably be next month sometime.
Michelle, did you have
something? I just wanted to say I agree that we should add maybe to the agenda next month about the board, the building discussion, buildings, and curious just how far along it is with the approval or the funding coming through for them to use the old library, because from my understanding, that place needs to be pretty much torn down before anything can happen there. Like, it is beyond repair. So just curious, like, I guess I wasn't paying attention to what was happening there with planning and zoning or anything. Just curious if it is even at a point where we can discuss it and maybe advocate for what the city truly needs for police and court and all that. So I just wanted to repeat that.
Okay. And I think we can put this on the agenda for next month and continue on if appropriate until we decide what we want to do as a commission.
I would definitely say that's probably a good idea. Obviously, funding for building a new department is going to be one of the most difficult parts here. And if we could somehow partner with the state because we have multiple state agencies in the current building. I think it'd be really beneficial and probably the easiest way for the city to get some sort of new building. I think that putting this maybe out front, maybe to get ahead of the whole SJ library thing, would be a good idea at this point. So, yeah, I can definitely support that.
Okay. Thank you. We have no unfinished business. We have no new business. Any commissioner comments? Don't see any. So our next meeting is August 26th at 5:30 p.m. right here. So we get a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. We don't need a vote. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye, Michelle.
Commercial fish. So when is your...